Last July, after a series of cybersecurity incidents, including one which compromised the Navy Marine Corps intranet, the Navy launched a new effort called Task Force Cyber Awakening, designed in part to let the service oversee and manage its overall security posture holistically, much in the same way it assesses the readiness of its ships. The task force has much more work to do, but one early conclusion is that it's actually not feasible to fix each and every one of the Navy's cyber vulnerabilities. As part of the effort, the Navy's created a massive vulnerability repository. It contains nearly 500 items, and closing each one would cost an estimated $8 billion.
I can't do that, right?
Matthew Schwartz is the leader of Task Force Cyber Awakening.
So if I want to address it vulnerability by vulnerability, it's unexecutable because of the nature of the Navy. And two, it's unaffordable because nobody can really reprioritize that much money. So what are we doing to prioritize? What are we looking at in this risk calculation to prioritize? We're doing it based on consequence, right? And preserve the capability that we need to prosecute the fight and understanding that we can't accept some consequences. And as you define those consequences and the things you can't accept, you can try to protect against the consequence. And right now, that's how we're prioritizing.
The Navy made the decision to prioritize the effort to draw up new cyber boundaries based on how bad it would be if a system were compromised, Schwartz says, because it doesn't have enough of the other types of information that normally go into a military risk calculus, including how significant the threat against any particular system is.
We talk about the threat, but we can't really quantify the threat yet. We can qualify them a little bit. We can qualify who they are, but we can't quantify specifically what their intent is, what tools are going to execute, what they're planning to do right now. So the threat right now is hard. We're still trying to work through it. Right? So if that's still a little bit to be shaped, then I can't prioritize with it because I don't know what it is yet.
But the Navy has also taken into account how probable it is that an adversary could successfully attack different categories of its systems. And based on the assessments it's done over the past year, it's invested heavily in technologies that can protect its key networks, including NMCI, its shore-based network, and CANES, its shipboard network, from attack. But the task force is still trying to think about how to prioritize cybersecurity spending for other systems, like those that handle industrial processes aboard ships. Since many of those are theoretically disconnected from networks that hackers could exploit, the probability of them being penetrated is pretty low. But if they were, the consequences could be catastrophic.
But right now, as we start to look at this, as we start to discuss with industry, that's an area where we're still in the research mode. We're still trying to find out what technologies are available. We're still trying to design solutions. So the types of dollars you're going to see there and the types of people we're going to interface are more with the researchers, more with the R&D type of investments. And then you continue to move up the chain to where you get to the point where you're talking about, you know, those very sophisticated control systems, right, that are hard to get to because they're, in theory they're disconnected. And I'm not sure if we can truly say that anything's disconnected, but in theory they are, right? So disconnected systems that provide a critical warfighting capability, the probability of getting in, low. The impact if they do, extremely high. And right now the discussion that we're having is whether or not industry, from an innovation perspective, is pushing this, or if the Navy and the Department of Defense is going to have to take ownership of the innovation curve on how we close that gap, because whether or not industry has the same challenge as we do. And I would argue right now, I think there's some areas in that space where DOD is going to have to own the innovation curve on how do we develop solutions to close those vulnerabilities. Because I think we have vulnerabilities that industry doesn't share with us.
Part of the task force's charter is to make sure that any systems the Navy buys from now on, from ships to back-end business systems, fit into a forthcoming set of cyber-safe standards. That's why the executive committee behind the task force is co-chaired by the Vice Chief of Naval Operations, the head of the Navy's requirements community, and the Assistant Secretary for Research, Development, and Acquisition. But in the meantime, Schwartz says the Navy also needs to focus on ensuring the legacy systems it's already deployed can be used in a warfighting environment with sophisticated cyber adversaries. As one solution, it's looking to compartmentalization, the idea that if an attacker makes its way into a Navy network, the attack can be contained, much in the same way a flood would be controlled aboard a ship. It might also mean intentionally shutting down key systems.
How do we inject technology, right, to be able to create demarcations within our platform, if you will, so that we can maintain the integrity of certain capability, but willing to accept risk in others, right? So if we know that we're going into harm's way, should we shut down the real-time maintenance systems for a period of time, you know, as we execute and prosecute the fight, and then as we come out of the fight, we can turn back on that net-centric capability to enable the supply chain and the sustainment of the platform. Right now, we can't do that, right? Right now, we don't have the ability to do that. So we're trying to inject technology and capabilities that would allow us to be more maneuverable and also allow us to compartmentalize the platform, both proactive and reactive.
In the end, the Navy wants to replicate the success it's had with its submarine safety program, and it's borrowed the name. One part of the task force is building a series of technical standards referred to as CyberSafe, and the cyber environment the Navy's working in now is remarkably similar to what it was dealing with decades ago when it first launched SubSafe, according to Brian Marsh, who's in charge of technical standards for Task Force Cyber Awakening.
If you think about SubSafe, there was a lot of infrastructure. It wasn't starting from a clean sheet of paper, and it was trying to figure out how you moved within the submarine community to a place where you could actually provide the level of safety for crew in the submarine community. Same thing on the cyber side. We're not starting with a clean sheet of paper. And so this is really trying to address the problem within Navy where we have a lot of infrastructure, recognizing that we need to migrate that over time. It is not purely then just starting with a materiel solution. We need to think holistically about the cyber challenge and how we address that.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.